At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, people didn't really know how to categorize him. Yes, early on, a handful of people did call him rabbi, teacher, but they also admitted that there was a stark contrast between him and all of the other religious teachers they had ever known. And other people saw Jesus as more of like a mystic, someone who was steeped in the wisdom of desert spirituality, someone who straddled that line between holy fool and wisdom teacher, much like John the Baptist, right? And yet other people viewed him as a troublemaker and a heretic from the get-go, which, let's be honest, is not at all surprising. I mean, Jesus did accuse the temple priests of robbing the people, and he frequently called the religious elite of his day hypocrites and whitewashed tombs. And Jesus was also in the habit of calling Israel's politicians stinking rotten foxes, something we all would do well to keep in mind this election season, when yet again the only options that will be placed before us on a ballot will be that of Pharaoh or Herod. But the longer Jesus' closest disciples followed him, the more they started to suspect that there was perhaps something much deeper going on with this guy from Nazareth. After all, it's not every day that you see someone healing the sick and walking on water and casting out demons, right? So because of this, Jesus' followers eventually became convinced that he was, in fact, Israel's long-awaited Messiah. And they started to believe that he was the one who was prophesied about in the Old Testament scriptures. He was the one who would come and conquer the Roman Empire along with all of the other pharaohs and Herods of this world. Through military might and supernatural power, he would come and conquer all of Israel's foes and win back their homeland and win back the Hebrew people's freedom. But then Jesus started talking about how he was going to have to suffer and die. And this threw everyone for a loop, because suffering and dying, yeah, this wasn't exactly in the job description for a Messiah at that time, really at any time for that matter. So as Jesus spoke more and more about his impending death, the people around him simply couldn't compute what it was he was saying to them. But they continued to be intrigued by him enough to follow him still, nonetheless. But by the time we reach the very end of the gospel stories, after Jesus' death and his resurrection, we find out that Jesus' followers were no longer just calling him rabbi or Messiah, but they were also calling him Lord. Meaning somewhere along the way, they became utterly convinced that Jesus really was Emmanuel, God with us. Somewhere along the way, they all came to believe that in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, God had become one of us, had become incarnate as one of us. Now the question is, what was it that persuaded them all of this? I mean, this is actually possibly even the biggest question that the Gospels pose to us. What was it that convinced the people around him that Jesus is God? What caused the light bulb to go off in their minds? Was it when they saw the many healings and miracles? Was it when they saw him casting out demons and calming storms and feeding the 5,000 and walking on water? Is that when they got it? The answer is no. Was it when they heard him teach? No. His teaching often confused and drove people away, actually. So was it when they saw him transfigured in heavenly glory, standing before them on Mount Tabor? Like, did Peter, James, and John see the transfigured Christ and shout out, "Our Lord and our God"? Again, the answer is no. Well, was it when they saw the empty tomb? Did it click in their minds at that point when they saw the empty tomb and it caused them to cry out, "Aha, the tomb is empty because Jesus is God, and as God, he has conquered death, trampling down death by his own death"? Yet again, the answer is no. So did they recognize Jesus for who he was whenever they initially encountered him in his resurrected state even? And yet again, the answer is no. What happens right after he's resurrected? Mary confuses him for a gardener on Easter Sunday. And the disciples, they all confused him for a stranger or even for a ghost at one point. So when did they get it? When did it click in their minds that Jesus is divine? Let's examine this question from another angle. As one of my favorite seminary professors liked to say, let's suppose you were around back then, sitting outside at Starbucks, sipping on a latte in Jerusalem somewhere around 33 AD-ish. All of a sudden, while you're sipping on your latte, you happen to see Jesus walking by. Would you have recognized him for who he was? Would you have cried out, "Look, everyone, there goes God incarnate. There's Jesus, God from God, light from light, true God from true God"? Would you have known who he was? And for those of us who rose our hands in the class and blurted out, "Yes, of course, we would have recognized Jesus for who he was," our professor immediately responded with these words, "Then you must be demon-possessed, because only the demons recognized Jesus for who he was before his crucifixion and his resurrection." Again, at what point do people get it? At what point do people come to recognize that Jesus is divine? When did Thomas recognize him, and Mary Magdalene, and Peter, and the other disciples, including the disciples on the road to Emmaus? At what point did Thomas cry out, "My Lord and my God"? Was it not when he was allowed to touch Jesus' wounds? Was it not when Jesus met him in his doubt? When did Mary Magdalene recognize him? Wasn't it when he called her by her name outside the empty tomb, meeting her in her bitter tears, in her brokenheartedness? When did the disciples recognize that Jesus was God? Wasn't it when Christ appeared to them in the house they had locked themselves up in because they were afraid that they too would be crucified by the empire? Wasn't it when Christ met them in their fear of death? Isn't that the point that the light bulb went off? When did Peter get it? Wasn't it when Jesus met him in his guilt and his shame after he had denied Jesus three times the night that Jesus was crucified? What about the disciples on the road to Emmaus? I mean, they had walked with the risen Lord for miles, and they didn't recognize him. But as soon as Jesus broke bread with them and opened the scriptures to them, and explained how the people of Israel's suffering had been his suffering all along, their eyes were suddenly opened. So what's the common factor here? What was the turning point for all these people? The turning point was when they realized just how much Jesus had touched their own brokenness, suffering, and despair. The turning point was when they realized just how much God had shouldered their agony, not just his own, on the cross. That's when it became real for them. And they realized that there was no duality between the rejection Christ experienced on the cross and the rejection they had known all throughout their lives. And when Christ was mocked on the cross, he was entering into every instant where they too had ever been mocked. And the heartache that pierced him through all, the heartache that had pierced them through all of their lives, this was what pierced Christ through on the cross. And on the cross, they realized that his tears were their tears, and their tears were his tears. And when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was entering into every single moment of doubt and atheism and despair they had ever known. And the death he died was their death. The hell he descended into and hallowed was every ounce of hell and agony they had ever been forced to endure throughout their lives. What about you, my friends? Has all of this become real for you yet? You see, I find that most people these days, they have a hard time finding God. Usually it's because they're looking for God in all the wrong places. They avoid looking in the place where God has met them most fully. You see, most people do all that they can to numb themselves to their suffering. They do all that they can to distract themselves from their suffering. But as Saint Athanasius once said, the cross is the lens through which we start to see Jesus' incarnation. Another way of saying this, if you wish to find God, if you wish to see God at work in your life, then start by looking at your own suffering and heartache and brokenness. For it is in the thick of your agony, in the thick of your suffering, in the thick of your brokenness that God has met you. In a manger in Bethlehem, God took on your humanity. But on a cross on Golgotha, God experienced all of your suffering as if it were his very own. And in a very real way, it was his very own. And when you discover God weeping in your weeping, and God suffering in your suffering, and God doubting in your doubt, and God dying in your dying, not only will you discover the extent to which Jesus has always been God with you, but you will also discover the extent to which you are already standing outside of your empty tomb.